Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a pleasure, such a delight to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Numerically, 888-7000-274. All that contact information will be given throughout the broadcast. Jot it down. It's important for you to realize that the Christian Research Institute is a repository of riches. In our sweet spot, apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults. Three subjects that I was dealing with in Thailand just a few days ago. And one of the things I noted is, though I was engaged in equipping missionaries, boots on the ground, all over Asia, what struck me most is how the children of those missionaries responded to the information. They were hungry for the information themselves. So much is happening around the world. Had an opportunity to meet with a key communist leader just this past weekend. And as I was meeting with this communist leader, recognizing the great battle that is taking place in China, a door that is open now but may very well be closing soon, there are rumblings about China closing by 2017. Even now, there are crosses being crushed. There are churches being bulldozed. Xi Jinping seems to have a real bias against Western culture and three main objectives: anti-Western culture. In other words, the skies do not belong to Christ, they belong to communism, anti-corruption, and anti-cult. And in China today, if you are not registered, you are considered a cult. And so oftentimes we see the persecution of Christians, but remember, dear saints, where persecution exists, the blood of the martyrs becomes the seed of the church. And so there is a great opportunity in Asia for the spread of the gospel, and God is opening doors for this ministry, and the need so great. Just a few days ago, I was in Japan. And when you look at that nation, you are looking at a first world country. In fact, a country in which the people are extremely gracious and helpful, but a country in which less than one half of 1% are Christian. The openness to the gospel, particularly in Tokyo, over 37 million people, is astounding. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And We have, as many of you know, initiated a global initiative. A reason for that is, again, what I just said. The fields are white into harvest. The laborers are few. The resources of the Christian Research Institute constitute riches that the world desperately needs. And as God continues to open up doors, I am thankful for those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry as we reach out and make a difference. Only one life, soon it will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. This month is an important month in terms of resource. We have a brand new book. It's called New Atheism, A Survival Guide. This is one of those books that I just could not help but make available to our listeners, to our constituents, to those who provide the resources so that these ministry outreaches could touch not only Western civilization, but indeed the world. This is a book that is, well, it's one of those books you can read in just a couple of sittings. It is incredibly well written. But it highlights the fact that today there is sneer pressure. In other words, the new atheists are using ridicule rather than reason, and that motif has gained momentum. This is the strategy pursued by the new atheists. In fact, Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments as the leader of the new atheists wouldn't get him a pass grade in a high school class. But he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He's ridiculing his opponent's position instead. The reason for theism must be so bad. Well, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. The new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but there have plenty of original insults to offer. Again, this is one of those books that reads well, instructs us in dealing with atheism. And if you look at the problems of the world today, atheism is one of the primary causes. Why? Because when you start to tell people there is no God, then you're telling them there is no accountability. When you tell them there is no God, you're saying that physics is all that matters, that there's no purpose to the universe, that there's no meaning to life, that there is no free will. In essence, you're telling them that there's no difference between right and wrong, good and bad. The stakes are high. The book is readable. It is available all this month for your ongoing support of the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and what we're doing with our global initiative. Remember, we're catalyzing and resourcing an apologetics initiative around the world, making our resources available. People are desperate for those resources, and we're finally in a position to make them count while there is yet time. The New Atheism, the book by Graham Veal, a survival guide, and it certainly is that, readable, and it is something that you need. You can get on the web at equip.org for your gift, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone calls. First up is Peter. He's listening in Bellingham, Washington, NRB Television. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
It's not really so much a question, but I was watching, I guess it's one of your previously recorded broadcasts, and you were speaking with an expert on the Quran, and a fellow had emailed in to you and was sort of debating with you, and a Muslim had emailed in to you and was kind of debating with you as to context and
whatnot.
Yeah,
I remember that.
The kind of the general mood of the conversation was, you know, that Islam is not really a violent religion. And, you know, in light of recent comments made even at the National Prayer Breakfast by the president, I thought maybe it would be a good idea, you know, if you could mention, you know, how that the Crusades were in response to all those years of jihad. And perhaps, and I know when I'm witnessing a lot, I'll get a lot of responses of, you know, people quoting the Bible saying, oh, well, God said to, you know, the Christian God said to kill these people or wipe out those people. And it might be a good idea maybe to point out that, you know, what people thought that was about, and, you know, the worshipers of Molech and Baal, and what those people were actually about, and why, you know, they needed to, you know, go away, you know, as compared to in Islam, if you just, you know, don't convert, then you need to die.
Yeah, well, you know, God is always interested in the obliteration of wickedness, and certainly the axe of God's judgment fell on the Canaanites as a result of their sacrificing their sons and daughters in the fire, as a result of their just incredible brutality and hedonism. And remember that God said to the Israelites, who are the acts of his judgment, that if they follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations who were in the land, that the same thing was going to happen to them. And of course, it happened. The Assyrians were the first of God's acts of judgment against the northern kingdom, and then you had the Babylonians against the southern kingdom. So the obliteration of wickedness, which traps and marginalizes the crowning jewels of God's creation, is always God's intent, not the obliteration of people, but rather the change of heart by which they can be reconciled to their Creator. But you're right to say that inspired by Islam's call to jihad, Muhammad's armies had conquered Jerusalem and the entire Middle East, and they then went to Africa, east into Asia, north into Europe. They conquered parts of Italy, most of Spain, the Balkans, and they were preparing for a final incursion that would bring all of Europe under the rule of Islam. And more than 200 years after Islamic armies conquered the Middle East and forced their way into Europe, Christians did strike back. They were rallied by the Pope, the ruling dynasties of Europe. It was the 11th century that Christians attempted to recover the heartland of Christianity and defend it against militant Islam. Now, in saying that or providing rationale, this never is the way in which Christianity advances. Christianity does not advance by the sword. The way Christianity ultimately advances is by the change of heart. Now, there are all kinds of people that do things in the name of Christianity, but this is name only, and therefore to classify as Christians those who are responsible for instigating atrocities is to beg the question of who Christ's disciples are to begin with. You know, Christ himself pointed out, not everyone who calls him Lord is the real deal. So the point here is to realize that the validity of Christianity does not rest on sinful men, but rather on the perfection of Messiah alone. Not only that, but the facts that professing Christians commit sins only serves to prove the premise of Christianity, namely, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the premise of Christianity is that we are sinners. I mean, to become a Christian, you have to first recognize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and then receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then seek to live in Christ-like fashion. Again, the way culture is transformed is hearts are transformed, and that's what Christianity is in the business of doing, and we all have an opportunity to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. And give that reason to everyone who asks us for the reason with gentleness and with respect. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, a book that is a staple for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'm surprised that each and every week so many people order copies of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. For those who want a personalized copy, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. That goes for any of the books that I've written. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. When people join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, as opposed to being occasional givers, well, it actually turbocharges the ministry and is deeply appreciated. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
New atheists are surreptitiously stealing hard-won intellectual ground once defended by people of faith. Their dumbed-down but winsome ridicule slides effortlessly past the growing number of uncritical minds receptive to such nonsense. Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is a very accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for responding to this new atheist nonsense. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They are about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of new atheists. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Girls and women everywhere struggle with body image, and for some, this leads to body dysmorphic disorder, an obsession with perceived physical flaws. Young girls post "Am I pretty or ugly?" videos on YouTube, and adult women subject themselves to costly cosmetic procedures. But the Bible offers women a saner path to enhancing their beauty and sense of worth. Other topics include, why did God let that child die? Should Christians fear profanities? The spirituality of Schadenfreude, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Christians today are exposed to relentless attacks on theism by so-called new atheists. Will a weakened Christianity survive the new atheist? Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, will help you understand the new atheism and how best to respond to the threat it poses. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our callers. Next up is Ron. He's listening in Massachusetts. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question and a request, if you could possibly try to get there. I've read your book, The Apocalypse Code, twice, and I'm having a difficult time with one part of it, how you equate Nero with the Antichrist, because in Revelation 13, it talks about the ban on buying and selling unless you have the mark.
Well, remember the mark. The mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the lamb. So you have the mark of the lamb as the mark of Jesus, the mark of the 144,000, the perfected bride of Christ, contrasted with the mark of the beast. And the mark is anything that you believe or do really identifies you in a very meaningful way in terms of who you belong to. So for buying or selling, there's no need for a visible mark. If you are a Christian, your worldview and what you do will quickly expose you for who you are. At least it should, if you are a genuine believer or follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the mark of the beast, again, is a parody of the mark of the lamb. Just as Antichrist is a parody of Christ, the beast cannot do what Christ did. He can only parody what Christ did. If the beast could do what Christ did, then you'd have to ask the question, why not worship him? In modern day personifications of the beast, like Tim LaHaye, his writing of the beast, Nikolai Carpathia, I think he called him in the Left Behind series, that beast had the power literally to resurrect from the dead, to cause events to take place in the natural world. In other words, to do miracles on par with the miracles of Jesus Christ. And if that is true, then you'd have to, again, ask the question, why not worship him? Of course, it isn't true. The beast can only parody what Christ does. The beast cannot do what Christ does. It's also, I think, very instructive to note that nowhere in Revelation will you see the word Antichrist. Where you find Antichrist is in John's epistles, where he exposes Antichrist as a liar, as the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man, says John, is Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And as John goes on to say in his second epistle, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, to sum that up, certainly you could call the beast an antichrist, a Revelation's beast. And by the way, a Revelation makes very clear that the beast is someone that first century writers and readers could identify. If they had wisdom and understanding, they could identify the beast by his number and his name. John is not fooling people in the first century telling them they could identify them, the beast, by number and name, if in fact the beast is a 21st century individual. That's common sense. But again, any institution or any individual who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. And the personification of evil as Antichrist is the beast that is revealed in Revelation, a beast who deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And what John does is he draws on Daniel's apocalyptic depiction of evil world powers to describe an emperor in his own epoch of time who arrogantly sets himself and his empire against God, violently persecuting the saints, grossly violating the commandments through a long litany of disgusting demonstrations of depravity, not the least of which was his demand to be worshipped as Lord and God. So there's ample evidence that the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation that took place when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed is a man of nefarious character that fits a description that's pretty easy to identify in a first century epoch of time. And taking that individual and translating him 2,000 years hence, I think does great violence to the biblical text. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, John.
How do you do? My background is Pentecostal, and the pastor of my church puts a really high premium on faith healing, and particularly people like Catherine Coleman and Amy Semple McPherson, who, of course, passed away. I try to keep an open mind, but at the same time, some of these practices strike me as just not quite right, and I can't really put my finger on it. I'd like to know what your opinion is of the faith healing movement, and particularly some of these people I mentioned, some of these old faith healers that were very instrumental in the Pentecostal church.
Yeah, they were very instrumental. In fact, so instrumental that modern-day faith healers still get the anointing from their bones. So Benny Hinn goes to Amy Semple McPherson's tomb and Catherine Kuhlman's remains to get the anointing so that he can go into his extravaganzas and do the same things that they did. I mean, this is all hocus pocus, and the fact that people fall for it is a great indication that we are not so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we'd identify it instantaneously. I mean, the thing that you have to look at, apart from the stories that you hear, is what's really going on when you test those stories in light of Scripture. Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, both very well known for slaying people in the spirit. Well, is there any biblical basis for slaying people in the spirit? Absolutely no. Although faith healers oftentimes say, well, you know, you see people slain in the spirit in the Bible, Garden of Gethsemane, classic example. Well, if that's being slain in the spirit, I don't think anybody go to a modern-day faith healer to have that happen to them. Remember the story? The soldiers come to arrest Jesus. Jesus unleashes for just a millisecond the effulgence of his glory and power, and they fall backwards like dead men. If that's being slain in the spirit, I'm pretty sure people wouldn't be lining up for it. So the gullibility of the American public in particular, and now I see this transported all over the world. I just mentioned at the opening of the show, I was in Chiang Mai a few days ago teaching missionaries, and the greatest obstacle that they have to the gospel advancing is not even the cults. It's the prosperity gospel, because it promises something it can't deliver. And when people buy into it and find it to be an empty shell, what do? They immediately realize that this was just superstition, and they revert back to ancestor worship or animism or some other perversion. They're only one unanswered prayer from reverting back. So when you give them a gospel that overpromises and underperforms, it's a prescription for disaster. So you see new converts without roots, like tumbleweed, falling back into the kingdom of the cults, or worse, world religions that are impotent to save, impotent to provide real satisfaction for the sinner's soul. So it's a horrible problem. And unfortunately today, the anecdotes abound and people don't think through it biblically or critically. It's one of the reasons I wrote a book which does mention both the people that you mentioned. It's called Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tim. He's listening in Lawrence, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I keep, I listen to you every day, and I hear you say this over and over about First Century Church and Revelation, and I don't see it. I mean, you're getting this off of Jesus said he'll return in a generation, right?
Jesus said that he would, yes, he said, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. He emphatically said that all of the things that he described in Matthew chapter 24 as one of the major texts for the Olivet Discourse, he said all of those things would happen within a generation, and that is the reason that many skeptics and infidels call him a false apocalyptic prophet, because they said he was emphatic in his words, and yet he did not come back again within a generation. Of course,
how do you explain the rest of Revelation?
Well, I'm talking about the Olivet Discourse, and Revelation, as you're alluding to rightly, is an expanded Olivet Discourse. But what I'm saying is that Jesus is using the language of the Old Testament prophets, and he's applying it to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which is the greatest sociological and spiritual tragedy in Israel's history. I mean, when you look at...
But for them to say that God to come, for Jesus to come back, Israel had to be a state again, correct?
Say again?
And that happened in the 50s. Israel had to be a state again.
Well...
The Bible also mentions...
No, wait a minute. You're misreading. I mean, this is what the skeptics have done. They have misread the scriptures. Jesus is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets. He's a far greater prophet than them all, and he's using the language of the Old Testament prophets and applying it to an apocalypse. So when you read that Jesus Christ is going to return or come, some people want to read second coming into that every single time, just like the skeptics do. But this is the problem. The problem is you cannot be tied to subjective fantasies. You have to always be tethered to the biblical text. So you have to read Scripture in light of Scripture. Every time you read coming, don't read second coming into it, because coming, if you're someone that's read through the Bible, you're immediately aware that that language is used in many different ways. Certainly coming in judgment, and that's the context of the passage. Remember, the disciples are calling Jesus' attention to the temple and its buildings and its beauties, and Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So Jesus is talking about the destruction, his coming in judgment. It's pretty obvious in the context. The skeptics don't get that because they don't read the Bible. The one thing I don't get is why Christians don't get it. If you read the Bible in light of Scripture, rather than being off on a subjective flight of fancy, you get it every single time. It's a matter of reading the Bible in light of the Bible. Read Scripture in light of Scripture. It's one of the great imperatives of hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. Be right back.
Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical argumentation wouldn't earn him a passing grade in an undergraduate philosophy course. Yet, the dumbed-down ridicule he and other new atheists wield slides effortlessly past a growing number of college students receptive to such ridiculous rhetoric. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, offers an accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, a Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, "The new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them." Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, a Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Perhaps the most difficult and emotionally charged question ever asked the pastor or apologist is why God let a particular child suffer or die. The typical answer is we won't know until we get to heaven. Of course, we will certainly know more when we get to heaven, but is that all we can answer now? Other topics include female body image in a world of disordered mirrors. Should Christians fear profanities? Teaching apologetics to the next generation, celebrity death and the meaning of life, emotions in apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Alex Rosenberg, professor of philosophy at Duke University and a devout atheist, bites the bullet in noting that if atheists desire to enjoy life without illusions, they must realize there is no meaning or purpose of life, and there is no moral difference between right and wrong. In other words, Rosenberg says, an atheist will have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Tragically, multitudes of college students are now drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense. Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of new atheists. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the new atheism's dirty little secrets is that scientific explanations do not explain theism away as they suggest that these explanations do. Why? Because they confirm the hypothesis that our universe has been designed. Why do we live in a universe that is governed by laws and mechanisms? why did history of life on Earth result in such bewilderingly beautiful diversity and complexity? Theism answers that the universe was created. It is ordered by a rational agent. It is ordered by God. That's why we say the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of its hands. It's why we say with the Apostle Paul, God's eternal power and divine nature clearly understood by what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. The new atheism has the sneer factor, but they don't have the truth factor. And you need to understand that they're making dogmatic assertions as opposed to defensible arguments. That's what they traffic in today, because as science advances, it becomes more and more apparent that this universe is not a function of blind chance. You look at the fact that a little dot at the end of a sentence has 100 billion atoms of carbon. It's very hard in that kind of age of enlightenment to suggest that all of this is a function of random variations, random mutations, chance. No, there is design. Not only do we see design in microorganisms, but in the macro issues that assault our senses every single day, not the least of which is the fact that we live in a universe that is immense. It is a universe in which we have 170 or so billion galaxies, each with hundreds of billions of stars. The immensity of the universe didn't just happen. Every effect needs to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. You need this new book. You know, what I like is it's written by a school teacher and someone that flat knows how to write. And so you're just moved along. It's something you read very, very quickly, but it gives you the kind of information that you need for your kids and your grandkids. If I'm talking to a parent, if I'm talking to one of the kids right now, I mean, you need it to fortify yourself in arguments with your fellow classmates. This is the kind of book, quite frankly, you know, I'm always going to have 5 or 10 of them handy because I have a lot of kids. Here, give this to one of your friends. This is one of those books that's easy to read and it's kind of fun. This guy knows what he's doing. It's one of those gems that we have discovered available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online, equip.org, for your gift, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. Zip code 28271, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. A quick program note, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. So if you're hanging on and I don't get to you in the next 8 or 9 minutes, I'm going to be here for an extra hour. So keep calling, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Ashley, St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is about 1 John 5:16, where John is talking about praying for a brother who commits sins not leading to death. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to talk about how there is a sin that leads to death and not to pray for that. I'm obviously paraphrasing here a bit, but I'm having some trouble understanding that section. I was hoping you could help me understand.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line here is Christ came to give us life and to give it to us to the full. In other words, to give us life abundantly. So Christianity is not just about an insurance policy that keeps us out of a bad place and gets us into a good place. It is about experiencing the life of Christ. And John is very poignant and profound when he talks about this life of Christ. What happens, though, is when we live lives of sin, they separate us. Those sins separate us from the life that could be ours. And ultimately, if we die in our sins because we haven't received the redemption of Jesus Christ, then we have experienced a sin that leads unto death. So the Bible consistently teaches that those who spend eternity separated from God do so because they willingly, knowingly, consciously reject the gospel. And that, again, is what John refers to as the sin that leads to death, in the sense that those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from His grace and love. But those who sincerely desire God's forgiveness can be absolutely certain that they will never be turned away. So that's the macro issue that John is discussing in context of the epistles.
Okay, and then if he's saying don't pray for that because you have to accept Jesus in order to go to heaven, is that what he means by that part?
Well, you not only accept Jesus so that you can go to heaven, the point is that you receive Jesus Christ so you experience life that is life to the full, or life that is life abundantly.
Okay. That helps so much. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Rob, St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I have a question. I believe I've seen it on TV. I think his name is Irwin Baxter, or Irvin Baxter, I believe. He's like a prophecy preacher. Do you know anything, whether he's any good or anything?
Well, you're kind of characterizing him, and I think doing a good job of it. This is not a guy that you want to spend any time watching. He's a Oneness Pentecostal, so he denies the Trinity. He's president of End Time Ministries, also leader of Oak Park Church. And he's a great example of newspaper eschatology. He focuses on explaining current world events in accordance with biblical prophecy, all the while ignoring or misconstruing biblical, theological, and historical context of the scriptures. So I like to classify him as one of those guys that is involved in the novelty of trying to pin the tail on the Antichrist. He's doing a good job of demonstrating that he does not know the scriptures. So this is a classic example of the blind leading the blinder into a great big ditch.
Yeah, I heard him talk about the Antichrist quite a bit and different things. I didn't know. I wanted to call and find out from you, so I won't watch him no more.
Well, you know, and don't just negate something that's bad, but add something positive. I mean, I think what's really important is that we become so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Moreover, I think it's instructive for all Christians to be hermeneutical Christians. And what I mean by that is all Christians should be those who know the art and science of biblical interpretation. You say, well, that's not me. I'm not a scholar. Look, everyone ought to read the Bible. It is, I mean, it's the rule book for life. It's the way in which we can become familiar with the master teacher. It's a guide for life and living. Now, when I say we should be familiar with the Bible, that's not all, because the Bible is a way shower. It points us to something, kind of like a menu does. So I was in Japan about 24 hours ago, and was having my last meal there, and I can't speak Japanese. And unfortunately, oftentimes you're in a restaurant and you don't have the equivalent in English, but what you have is beautiful pictures. And you look at that menu with the beautiful pictures, and man, you can almost eat them, but try it. Try eating the menu and see where it gets you. It's not very nutritious. The menu is pointing to something, and that is the meal. That is the experience. And I think it's important for all of us to realize that Christianity is not just an explanation, it's an experience that you can have with the living God. So be familiar with the art and science of biblical interpretation. Learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and then you can have the instructions that point towards the meal, the experience, the living, abundant life that we can have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to the phone lines, Joe in Overland Park, Kansas, KCCV. Hi, Joe.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have an unusual question. It's going to change the rhythm of the show a little bit, but my question is, I have trouble memorizing scripture now that I'm in my 60s, and I used to love to memorize scripture. I used to, you know, just take chapters and memorize them, and now I can't even say where they are. Whether, you know, they're in Ephesians or if they're in Galatians, I can't remember that either. And I was wondering if you had any tips for people as they age to continue to memorize the scriptures and be able to hold that in their heads.
Yeah,
I know you used to teach.
Joe, it's just like exercise. Sorry, I'm trying to answer quickly because I'm running out of time. But yeah, I mean, it's just like physical exercise. I mean, it's harder for me. I'm in my 60s as well. But I had a hike up this huge mountain to go to a pagoda at the top of the mountain just the other day in Thailand. And it takes, I mean, if you're out of shape, it's hard to do. And the older you get, the more you have to work on being in shape, you know, work on the temple, the power to weight ratio. In my case, some of the weight has to go. But the same thing is true with respect to memorizing. It's set goals, make the goals attainable, memorize with a family member or a friend, use normally unproductive time to review what you have memorized. I did that while I was climbing the mountain. I was memorizing this passage in Colossians that says, "We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this aim, I labor, struggling with all His energies, which so powerfully work in me." It's not struggling with my own energy. It's not using any energy at all. It's struggling with His energy, which so powerfully works in us. When we work through the energy of Christ, it is amazing what we can accomplish, even as we're memorizing the Word of God. So I was reviewing this all the way up the mountain. That's how it stuck in my mind. That's why I can say it right here on the show today. What I can do, you can do, and most of you can do better. Out of time, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. The number to dial to get your questions answered in the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Dial it now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up?
To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or call 888-7000-CRI.